Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Haunted a step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, October 12th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Get Your Book Published. Today, my guest is literary agent Andrea Hurst, and she will be pulling back the curtain on getting your book published. So any of you wanting to write a book or even thinking about writing a book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, you're going to benefit from today's show. So stay tuned. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made time to join us. I know you have many other things you could be doing, and I'm just proud that you chose us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. Now, you can do that on the phone lines by pressing #1, and that will let me know that you have a question or a comment. If you're on the web chat, you just type in your questions or comments, and then I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that this show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common one that happens, so if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700, the same number you dialed before, and you'll be able to get right back in. And don't worry about anything you missed because the show is recorded and it's available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. And many times it's available within minutes after the show is over. So if for some reason you missed part of it, not to worry. Now, I'm Flora Brown again. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and a grandma of 3. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels. I spent the last 20 teaching critical thinking. If you haven't already done so, I want to invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can now invest in my book, Color Your Life Happy, if you're ready to make positive changes in your life. Color Your Life Happy, my book, is also available on Amazon.com and in all major bookstores. But when you order from my website, I will send you an autographed copy. So it's your choice. Now, my book is full of stories, tips, and activities that will speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and the life you deserve. Now, on the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, all the things that contribute to our lasting happiness. Now, today, I'm very honored to have as my guest Andrea Hurst. She's a literary agent, and she's going to be sharing a rare glimpse, giving us this rare glimpse into the publishing world with tips for aspiring authors. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to get started in just a minute, but first I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you before we start. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Andrea Hurst is president of Andrea Hirst Literary Management. She works with both major and regional publishing houses, and her client list is impressive. It includes emerging new voices and New York Times best-selling authors. She represents high-profile adult nonfiction and well-crafted fiction. Her clients and their books have appeared on The Oprah Show, Ellen DeGeneres Show, Good Morning America, National Geographic Network, and in the New York Times. In addition to working in the publishing field for over 20 years, Andrea is a published author herself, skilled development editor, keynote speaker, and educator. And I was very honored to meet Andrea this summer when I visited the island, Cooperstown, correct?
Whidbey
yes. Island, Washington is where I met her. So I knew that one day I wanted her to share with my listeners. So welcome again, Andrea.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. It was great meeting you on the island as well.
Thank you. The very first question is one that some people may already know the answer to, but a lot of us don't exactly. So tell us, what do literary agents do?
Yeah, even those who think they know the answer to that one often are wrong.
Okay.
Literary agents basically are scouting for authors to find good books that they think they can sell to publishers. They are familiar with what the publishers are looking for. They also have their own areas of expertise. Some may take mysteries, some may not. But primarily, once they find something that they think is sellable and that they have a passion for, they then contract with the author to represent them in the sale. What that means is generally there's a little bit of editorial work, and I underlined little bit, to help the author get ready in their proposal if it's nonfiction. And then the agent takes over all the pitching and working with the publisher. If a sale is made, the author negotiates the contract, handles all of the payments, and any contractual issues. After that, the author goes on to work with the editor at the publishing house. The agent does not act as an editor or a reader or a marketing person or, you know, some hand-holding, but moderate.
Okay, okay. So the agent isn't someone that you're going to be sending your manuscript to every time you finish a chapter, perhaps.
Absolutely not, yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's for your editor, or that's for, you know, ahead of time, your critique group or your readers or your, you know, your freelance editor, whoever you may be working with.
Okay. Now, you mentioned scouting. Does the literary agent actively scout for writers, or do writers typically have to find you? How does
Well, you know, it's changing so rapidly. Agents are always looking. I mean, any idea we hear, if we say, oh, that's a great book idea, we're always looking. However, the query letters and referrals tend to be a great deal the place we find our authors. But this whole new internet, you know, popularity, the blog to book now, I'm hearing more and more that agents are scouting the blogs, and that's where they're looking. Also, I'm always looking in the news. Anytime I see something that I think would make a good book and would be sellable already, the person already has the story or has the audience, then I may scout and go after them.
Okay. While we're thinking, I just was thinking while you were talking about the event that I attended on the island where I first met you, and that was where you invited writers to come and share their writing and to get tips and so forth. Is that something that other literary agents do, have that type of meeting? I don't know. Are you still doing that?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. And we're
okay.
Still going strong.
Tell the listeners about how you developed that and, you know, what's your objective?
Well, I actually don't know any other agents doing it, but that doesn't mean they aren't.
Okay.
When I moved to Whidbey Island, which is near Seattle, in June, I had spotted last year this wonderful coffee house at the end of a pier that sort of floats over the water with
right.
Fabulous coffee, and I thought, what an incredible place to write. So I contacted William, the owner, and he said, sure, you know, come on in, you can have the tables, I'll close the doors after you're here an hour, and you can lock up, which is wonderful. And so my goal was primarily I wanted to go and have somewhere where I'm writing every week and be with other writers and give writers support and meet writers on the island. And so that's how it's evolved. Now we've had some guest speakers and some classes are spinning out of it and other things. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was a wonderful event. And I just realized, I think earlier in the show, I said Cooperstown or something weird.
I didn't notice it's Coopville.
It's
Coopville, Washington.
I don't know where I got Cooperstown, but Coopville. That was a wonderful event. Well, I hope other agents are doing that, because even if the writers don't end up going with you, it's a wonderful way to get writers to share what they're doing and get ideas. It was just wonderful, and I was very happy that I was there in town at the time it was going on. Now, is it possible to get published without a literary agent?
Well, it really depends. It's much more difficult and getting more and more difficult because the publishers have just, you know, in the last year there's been a tremendous amount of layoffs. They're publishing fewer and fewer books a year. The editors at the publishing houses primarily don't have the time to screen the hundreds and hundreds of queries and books that agents do. Now, that being said, the smaller publishers, the mid-sized publishers, particularly if you meet them in person, like at a writer's conference, and they request it directly, that can work.
Okay.
But I always suggest that you get somebody, either a publishing attorney or a literary agent, to review the contract, because there is often, no matter how knowledgeable you are, there are different contracts going to writers without agents. Make sure you have a look. So it is possible. It's much harder. But if you have all the things going for you, a publisher is going to want you. They may suggest that you get an agent after, but with the bigger publishers, it's going to be pretty darn hard to even get in. And if you do get in, my experience has been, if they're interested, they'll say, here's a list of agents. We are interested. Have your get an agent and come back.
Okay. I can see where for them, having an agent work with you is a lot more beneficial than them having to deal directly with every little bitty thing regarding the writer. That makes sense. Now, how do I find an agent? I'm a writer, and let's say I want to hire an agent to represent me. How do I go about finding an agent?
Well, the first thing is to read. One of my favorite things to tell writers to read is called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Getting Published. And even though it's funny, it's actually written by a New York Times best-selling author and former Random House editor and a literary agent with 20 years of experience in New York who was also my mentor agent. And between the two of them, that book is the most thorough, easy-to-understand, entry-level into the business of publishing.
Okay.
And many, many people start off thinking this is not a business. Mm-hmm. And that you need to learn the business first, make sure you're doing everything correct. You have a book proposal if it's nonfiction, if it's fiction, that you know what to submit, that you know what a polished query letter is, that you research the agents to make sure you're going after the correct ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you would do that is there are a couple great books. There's Writer's Market.
Okay, yes, I remember
then
that.
Then there's the Jeff Herman's. I use the most.
I'm sorry, I lost you a minute. What is the Jeff Herman's what?
Jeff Herman's Guide to Book Publishers, Editors, and Literary Agents.
Okay.
It's very thorough, and he has a lot of interviews in there, so you can really see what they're looking for.
Okay.
From there, you go on the website of the agent, and you research who are they, what are they looking for, are you a good fit, and if possible, check their schedule. Because many agents go to book writers' conferences where you can get a face-on appointment, which is a big step out of the slush pile.
Okay. Now, you mentioned research the literary agents, would Jeff's book have a list of agents? Where would
it has
a
big list of agents. It has interviews with them.
Okay.
It has what they're looking for. He also has a big list of editors and publishing houses. The other great resource that goes with these, if you're not familiar with it, is online, and it's called publishersmarketplace.com.
Okay.
And right. publishersmarketplace.com, you can get the lunch newsletter, they call it, for free.
Okay.
And for $20 a month, you can get into their database, and you can watch all the deals and who's doing them and get emails. It's quite, not all the deals, but a good deal of what's going on. And if you just join for 1 month or two while you're pitching your book, you can cancel after.
Hmm.
But
okay. Now, what is that you're joining? Because you get the lunch newsletter is free?
It's free. You just go on Publishers Marketplace, and I believe it's called Publishers Lunch. That's
lunch.
Free.
Okay. All
that'll
right.
give you a certain amount of information. But if you want to go in and get emails and get more information, you have to join to get into their database.
Oh, okay.
But again, it's not yearly, it's monthly, so.
Monthly, right. Well, that's still worthwhile, like you said, if you want to join just for a period of time when you need the information.
Absolutely. And if you put all those resources together, and I highly, highly recommend a writer's conference,
okay.
I've gotten more clients out of the conferences than I have out of the query letters.
Wow.
You can see the odds. Referral, scouting, conferences, query letters. That would be the order.
Okay. It sounds like then to find a list of the writers' conferences and put that together with the literary agents that you're interested in meeting to see what their schedules are would be a good way to get
faith. Particularly if you're writing in a genre like the romance. If you're writing romance,
right.
There's a romance writers' conference. A Romance of America, there's the local ones. You can join those, and they will give you lists
okay.
of people who are looking and how they want to the
wow.
submission.
So there's a lot of information out there.
It is, and this is the thing that most writers miss, is they just jump.
Right.
And once in a while, maybe one in a million will get lucky just jumping. But
right.
on the whole, you'll make all the mistakes that keep you from getting published.
Okay. Now, what materials do I need to have ready when I'm ready to pitch an agent or a publisher? What materials do I need to have?
If you're writing nonfiction of any kind, including a memoir, you need a book proposal.
Okay.
And a book proposal contains an overview of the book, your author bio, who your market is, a strong marketing and promotion plan stating what you as the author will do to sell the book, numbers, like the number of people that come to your site or your blog, your mailing list numbers, the number of baby boomers in the U.S. alone who will read your book.
Right. Okay.
Needs a sample table of contents, chapter by chapter outline, one or two sample chapters, and a comparative section where you compare your book to others in the field and how yours is better or different.
Okay.
That's not
very
for
important
fiction.
Thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
For fiction, you need a finished, polished manuscript and a short synopsis and author bio.
Okay. So with fiction, boy, you've got to go ahead and write that thing. No, no proposing.
Not unless you're Dean Koontz or...
In which case, you don't need his advice.
No, what did I hear? Something about $6 million last year with him and on one book.
Oh,
it was on one book.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very useful information. It seems to me like the preparation that you do for proposing a nonfiction book really will help you, the writer, to decide if you even have a book that's worthy because you are going to be doing the research. And especially the comparison in the field is very important. How is
also, you got to see that if your qualifications are what's called a platform is big enough to interest a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, what's become extremely popular lately is custom or self-publishing.
Okay. What's a platform? You said platform.
Platform includes what makes you the right person to write the book, such as you have experience in the field, you have a degree, you have work experience, you have a blog that makes you the expert in that area. You've been on television, you've been in O Magazine. You know, a platform is every bit of the media experience, degrees, audience that you bring with you with the book.
Okay. So it definitely sounds like the platform is geared toward your credibility and your credentials.
Absolutely.
For whatever topic.
They just won't publish anyone right now that doesn't have a big platform because of the economy.
Sure, sure. So
take a risk.
If someone's writing a memoir or something for their family members or whatever, then that's not something they need to even worry about going to a publisher for, because their intent is different. They have a different audience in mind. They're not necessarily trying to publish it on the scale that an established publishing house would be concerned with. So
there's a lot of custom publishing and self-publishing available very inexpensively now. However, the quality of what you do varies greatly.
Sure.
One of the things we do, we have a packaging and evaluation service we do outside the agency, which helps people with custom publishing to get the quality books for the best prices. So even for your family, they just don't look like something that was thrown together.
Right. Okay. So that gets me to the question, if I wanted to write a book for my family, but I didn't care about it being a New York bestseller, would I still be able to use your service, a literary agent service, to help it be as polished looking as possible?
Well, the literary agency is, the company is Andrea Hirst and Associates.
Okay.
The literary agency works strictly with author to publisher sales.
Okay.
The packaging and development and evaluation side works with all of the above, everything from consulting, manuscript evaluation, working with custom publishing, providing ghostwriters, providing photographers. You know, all of those services are provided through that section, so you would contact me in that way, not through the agency.
Okay. Now, how would we contact you in terms of email, web address? What would the listeners do?
Well, for now, until the new website is almost done.
Okay.
The website I have now is AndreaHirst.com, which is H-U-R-S-T, AndreaHirst.com, and just email, and in the subject line, either put query letter or need information or something that gives me a clue what you're looking for, and I will get back to you.
Oh, okay. All right, so the listeners would go www.andreahirst.com, correct?
Right.
Okay, I just want to repeat that so that they know. Now, what is a book proposal? I think you just gave us pretty much a good listing of it. Is there anything else that we need to know? I have there's the overview, the author's bio, and then the marketing plan with numbers, statistics, in terms of who you're going to be targeting. Correct.
Absolutely, and it needs to read. It can't, the whole marketing section can't say I will do this when the book comes. I will. It has to be. I have a blog. I have a site. I have a mailing list. Here's my speaking schedule from last year. Here's my workshop schedule is. It has to be very solid. Then there can be a section that says, I plan to contact every, you know, art school for my art book in the U.S. and do a talk once a month at the art schools.
Okay.
See, it needs to be very concrete and show the publisher. Often there is included what's called an author buyback.
Mm.
And that means the author promises to buy back a certain number of books when the book comes out at usually a 50% discount. For sales through back of the room, through their website or blog, these books cannot be then sold to a bookstore.
Okay. Okay.
So people who do a lot of touring and teaching and work on the web, say buy 1,000 books and they sell them, make 50% instead of the royalty, which is closer to 10 to 12% of wholesale.
Okay.
So it works well for both parties. The publisher is guaranteed to buy, and the author gets to make a lot more per book.
Now, I think that the whole marketing aspect is one of the things that surprised me most when I was working with publishers, and that is that the author seems to bear the responsibility for the marketing. Once the book is out, the publishers don't seem to do.
No, very. They never did much, and they do even less.
Less now. Okay.
They do wholesale marketing. See,
okay.
What they do is they get you in the bookstores.
Okay.
They market to the Barnes & Noble salespeople. They market to the trade magazines, to the libraries. They market through trade shows. But generally, they do almost nothing after that. They may do a little bit. They may get you a radio show or a magazine. But if you count on nothing, you're probably pretty close. But it can have, if you do a lot, they may step forward. I have an author, two authors that worked on a book, and they had that publicist at that publishing company working with them for a year and a half, which is unheard of, because they kept bringing so much to the table that they would then give back.
Okay. What, now, what is a platform when it comes to fiction? I understand when it comes to nonfiction, but what about fiction? How do you have, what's the platform there?
Well, there's a couple different things they look for. And again, because of the internet, things have changed quite a bit. The blog has become one of the ways, and there never were many ways, for a fiction author to create an audience before the book comes out. For instance, Stephanie Meyer with the Twilight books, I have found out, had quite the active blog and following before her book came out. Now, this doesn't mean that they put the whole book on, but they put, sometimes they talk in the character's voice, or they add research, or they add other things that aren't in the book, and they create an audience and a following that can't wait for the book to come out.
Okay.
So publishers are loving that. The other thing, of course, is we when we see things like the fiction author has won an award. There's a lot of contests out there. Won first place, won an award, or any publishing credits that are at all similar. Like a nonfiction publishing credit is not really going to transfer.
Okay.
A degree, you know, a degree doesn't guarantee anything, but if they have an MFA in creative writing, it doesn't hurt as part of their platform.
Okay. I was going to ask you, the finished book. Now, you already mentioned that in the case of a fiction book, you do need to submit a finished, you need to have a finished book ready. But do you need that for the agent, or do you need that when it goes to the publisher? At which point do you need it?
For the agent.
All right. So
they may not request the whole thing at once. They may request the first 100 pages. But if they want the rest, it needs to be finished.
Oh, okay. What types of books are selling right now? I know that's kind of an open question because there are probably many types that are selling, and those same types may not be popular next year this time. But what's selling right now?
Anything that has to do with vampires and zombies and anything in the paranormal, both fiction and nonfiction, primarily fiction, is selling really well.
Okay.
If you look at the bestseller list, books about murder mysteries, cozy mysteries, mysteries still stand strong, so do romance. Fiction escape books are doing better. People in this economy seem to be spending less on things like self-help, spending more on fiction, which is interesting. I think self-help is more of the leisure thing when you feel better about other things.
That reminds me of one of my co-workers used to always make a comment about our reading taste. I was always reading self-help books, and she was always reading fiction escape. And she said, see, the difference between us is you want to solve your problems. I want to escape mine. And I think that's exactly why fiction escape is popular, because sometimes people just get overwhelmed with all of this going on, and even the problem solving, you know, working on your problems, it's a good thing, but when people read, they may very well just want to escape. They don't want to have to.
Particularly when it's something like global economy, it's out of their control, you know.
Right, that's right.
fiction is still selling. We just sold a cookbook, a book on dealing with pain, things in the medical, things in finance that have to do with getting by on less, those things
mm-hmm.
are selling.
Mm-hmm. Now, those are falling in, let's see, cookbook and pain, those are nonfiction.
Right.
Those are falling nonfiction. What other kinds of, I can see the ones that deal with health and living on less being big sellers right now. Is that something new, living on less? Was that popular, you know, let's say a couple of years ago before the recession?
Not like it is now.
Yeah, okay.
And if it was signed now, you kind of hoped that by the time it came out, it might not be needed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the trouble with how long it takes to get a book out. You may have an idea that would sell well right now,
mm-hmm.
but you're gambling on by the time it finally gets out if it would still be pertinent.
Right, right. Yeah, I saw something, as a matter of fact, that somebody has a book out about a crime case that just took place like a month ago or less, and I thought, whoa, they were on that fast. The question is, you know, whether sales are going to continue after
right.
it's decided and been covered over by all the other murders that are going to come along.
Party, people still are obsessed with murder, so.
Isn't that something? And I have to confess I am too. I'm really obsessed with, well, murder, more mysteries. I like to find out how, I like the detectives that don't carry guns so much that
no.
solve with
I like to think my way through a mystery and
right.
try to.
Right. Those are my favorite. Now, you mentioned custom and self-publishing, and when you were talking about the things that are involved in approaching a publisher, and especially the marketing plan that you have to have in place, and especially you emphasize these are things people have to have going now, not things they plan to do, but they have to already have demonstrated that they are in motion.
Some can be in planning. But something like a website and a blog need to be active.
Active.
To say, I'll have it by the that's not what they want to hear.
No, no. That brings up the question that I've heard some self-publishers or custom publishing, as you mentioned, people say is, if I have to do all the marketing, why do I need the established publisher?
Distribution.
Okay.
The problem is that if you have a wide audience that you can sell your own book very well, several thousand a year,
mm-hmm.
you really don't need a publisher. You may do better off just doing your own.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you want to then move that book, let's say, for instance, The Shack. Are you familiar with that book?
No, no.
It's, you know, it's funny to me how many millions it's sold and so few people have heard of it. It started as a self-published Christmas letter they sent out, and then they made some Xerox copies, and then they self-published, and they did, I understand, a lot through the Internet sales, and they were able to generate, I think it was close to 1 million sales without a publisher.
Wow.
But the thing they couldn't do is the distribution, getting it through the bookstores, into foreign markets, getting it into libraries. All of that takes a publisher. Plus, then you continually have to pay for the things, stock the books, ship the
right.
books. Publisher
right.
takes everything off of you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And but there's a fine line to
yeah.
where with so few bookstores now, you can custom publish, sell your own, and put it on Amazon.
That's correct. That's correct. And you also have nowadays with the Internet, you have access to foreign publishing and distribution just as the publishers do, except that, of course, you have to pay for it
right.
in front, whereas the publishers are paying for it when they do it. But speak to what is custom or self-publishing for. I think when people hear self-publishing, they probably think back to the old days of Vanity Press. I remember
that.
Yeah,
it's not the same. There's a couple ways to do it. I mean, there's the old-fashioned way. You become a publisher, and you handle every detail. You hire a book designer. You get the cover done. You work directly with the printer. And that's quite time-consuming and expensive. Mm-hmm. But now there's all these publishers, everything from Author House to Barnes & Noble has their own self-publishing, custom publishing, and many in between, where you just send them the manuscript. They get your ISBN and their copyright. They handle everything down to the printing and delivering of the books.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's so streamlined now, it's really amazingly much, much cheaper. Unless you add color to the mixture.
Yes, I know. As soon as you add color, then you're in a different ballpark.
Different field. If you do want to do a cookbook, we just finished packaging a gorgeous hardcover 25th anniversary cookbook for a restaurant in Southern California. And they wanted top-of-the-line hardcover, 200-and-something pages with, like, 100 full-color photos, and they wanted 3,000 copies. And, you know, that's an expensive proposition.
Yes, it is.
Although it gets the first printing is too high. The second printing is quite a bit less, because all the costs are covered in the first one except printing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that color issue you just reminded me. I have a friend who has written a number of books for Globe that does in the gift basket industry, and she was dismayed that at first they were not going to put any color inside the book with all of the basket design she was wanting to show, and they were going to be black and white, and she was, oh no, you know, with product, just like with the cookbook, the color makes a difference.
Right.
In terms of the reader, and so does anything that's craft and design oriented. I would think color is a big asset, but it's a big expense also.
Well, and 2 years ago, it wouldn't have mattered so much. We had two huge books that were coming out through publishers this year with full color and all of that, and both of them were put on hold for 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
In the middle of, you know, with halfway done and all of that, because they don't want to invest the money to do it now, and they don't feel there's an audience to buy it now.
Oh, okay.
They're more high-end luxury books.
Yes. Well, if it's a topic that is timeless, I suppose waiting isn't so bad, but if it's a timely kind of thing, you need to get it out there. There seems to be an optimum time for it hitting the market, then that can be a problem.
So it is a business, and the main thing I would say is learn what you're getting into. It's not this dreamy thing, oh, I'm going to write a book, someone's going to love it, they're going to publish, I'm going to make money. It's so long. I had, an agent I was talking to last week has been an agent for, I think he said, over 4 years, and he said something about publishing is about delayed hope. And I thought, oh, no. It's so true, though.
Delayed hope, that's scary. But by the same token, I encourage people, since my book came out, people have asked, of course, how did you write it, how did you publish it, and so forth. And I encourage people who say, I've always wanted to write a book. I've encouraged them to write their book.
Absolutely.
Even if they don't go with the major publisher, get your book on the computer and get it done. Get it done.
You know, if that's your dream and that's your passion, just do it. Just be aware of what your options are.
Yes.
And don't waste your time and energy. If you have something that you love and you have an audience, you can do it yourself now.
Exactly. And that's something that I think people have to recognize. Whenever they ask me about writing a book, I say, who is your audience? Who are you writing it for? And if they say, well, it's basically for my family, to let them know the history of our family or whatever, then that's a different thing than saying I want to be a New York Times bestseller. So I think the people that you're targeting, and like you say, you have a dream of writing it, get it done. It's nobody.
And it's you don't know. I heard a woman speak a few weeks ago. She'd been working on this novel, working. She hadn't really, she'd taken classes in writing, and she went to New York to a pitch conference and got turned down and was crying and called her friends, her writing friends, and they said, go back tomorrow, try again.
Mm-hmm.
And she went back, and through a fluke, she ended up meeting someone who told her to go talk to someone else. She had a bidding war over her novel. This was like a year and a half ago, right before they caught me, really. Bidding war, first-time novel, six-figure deal.
Right.
It happens, you know.
It
does happen. But you got to write it. You got to know what you're doing, and you got to be persistent.
Persistent and passionate about whatever you've written, because
yep.
if you're passionate, then part of you've already been rewarded just by getting it written, and the fact that somebody else doesn't think it's a good idea is not...
Believe me, it doesn't matter. Every book we have sold, there's been at least maybe a handful of publishers who didn't like it and said it would never sell.
Wow.
Yet the next one the next day buys it.
That's
so,
right. Famous last words, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you hear those stories, celebrities say that all the time. Some of them say, you know, they've been told nobody is going to listen to your voice. You have a horrible voice, forget it. And the people who persist are the ones that make it through at some level. So, I'm sorry.
Three P's, passion, persistence, and patience.
Passion, persistence, and patience. Very much so. And I think this goes across the board to anything that you're trying to do. And the whole thing about book business, I think stressing that for any endeavor is important. I was in the gift basket industry one time, and that was the biggest problem when consulting with people. They wanted to talk about design and where do you get beautiful products. And my question is, who's your target market? What is your marketing plan? And they didn't want to talk about that part of it. But that's the business side. And if you don't talk about that, you don't have a business.
Absolutely. And there's people out there, so many freelance writers and marketing experts and publicists. And many authors will just hire a publicist to handle this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's costly, and you got to make sure you get the right person. But those are the experts in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to wear all the hats. I hire a bookkeeper, you know. Sometimes you do what you can. You figure out what you need to delegate, and you know, and then you just go where your strengths are.
That's right. Oh, we're near the end of today's show. We have 2 minutes left. My goodness, this has been wonderful. I thank you so much, Andrea, for coming on. And I want to urge all of the listeners who have been enlightened, encouraged, and empowered by what you've shared to be sure to share this with family and colleagues and friends who are interested in writing a book or thinking about writing one. This show is available right after for download, so be sure to do that. I want to thank everyone for tuning in today and invite you to join me again next Monday, October 19th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. At that time, we're going to have another great show. And in the meantime, visit my website, Color Your Life Happy. I have a number of things for you there, including a free newsletter and information about coaching and so forth. So go take a look. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Once again, I want to thank Andrea Hurst. If you want to take a look at her site, dash on over there to www.andreahurst.com and learn what you need to know about the publishing, the writing, the promoting of your book, or send her an email, ask her a question. Have a blessed week, and I'm going to ask you to remember to color your life happy and do what Andrea says. You need to follow your passion, have persistence, and have patience. And you, too, will be able to enjoy the rewards and benefits of publishing. Any last-minute words, Andrea?
I just want to thank you for having me on the show and encourage everyone, just write. Even if it just brings joy to your heart, that is enough.
That is enough, and thank you so very much. Goodbye, and thank you for joining us. I look forward to having all of you come back again, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, Andrea.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.